cliffcentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-G-G-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-G-G-Man, the ad man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-G-G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com. Fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So fuck that.
G-G-G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your boy G-Man, the ad man, and we're back at it. It's been another fantastic week of advertising. For those of you who are back from Cannes, welcome back from spending our money. We're happy to have you back. And the jealousy and envy is still high up in this bitch right now. So thank you. Thank you for having a great time while we were here dealing with the stuff you left behind. So you might also hear that I've got a bit of a thing in the throat, but it's not going to stop us. You know, the revolution is too important for us to be stopped by little things like colds and flus. So I think this is great. I mean, in the last week of Youth Month, I think, you know, having seen all the celebrations that have happened over the past couple of weeks, some better than others, you know, and also, you know, like, it also gave people opportunities to come out there and make Youth Day ads. You know, once again, some better than others. And the controversy around stuff like this always gets me. So it's always like, you know, brands who all of a sudden just kind of feel like, yeah, you know what, it's fine. Let's make a Youth Day ad that insists on. I mean, I guess it's hard for us to separate the political from kind of the commercial. So people kind of find it easy to make like political TV ads about Youth Day or whatever, and sometimes it lands, and then other times, hey, yeah, it does not land. Anyway, but let's carry on. I mean, I've got a great guest with me in the studio today. If you're following me on social media, you'll know who this guy is. But yeah, we're gonna get into some of these news, some of the stuff that's happening on social media, that's been happening in advertising. But you know what I'm gonna do? I wanna do what I do every week. I'm gonna introduce him. And then let's have I want you guys to know. Can you hear that? He's already clearing his throat. He's got stuff prepped. He's got stuff prepped. So I had the pleasure of working with this man in my time when I was at FCB, and even before he got to FCB, when he was still at the SABC, we rumbled, as they say in the streets, you know, we rumbled one or two times, and the time that I spent with him at FCB, I think we achieved, the agency achieved a whole bunch of amazing things, and you know, I happened to be lucky enough to have been around for that kind of thing. But you know what, we're going to do a full-on intro, we're going to talk about him, we're going to talk about, you know, what he does, what he enjoys. You know, he was just telling me about this Brothers of Peace song now. He was just like, you can't tell me there's a better song than that one. But yeah, in the studio with me today, I've got a very, very special guest. In the studio with me, I've got Mr. Cherry Mpufane. What's up, Cherry?
OT.
How you doing, eh?
It's bloody good to see you, and very happy to be here. I was beginning to think that I need to pay big bucks to come and see you in the studio.
Oh, please.
So thank you for the invitation.
Please, once again, I need to give big props to Chiesa Quinchete, the man who managed to track Jerry down. You know, guys, Jerry's hard to pin down. He sits here and he says that he's been trying to get you. We've been trying to get him for some time. So congratulations to you, Chiesa, and big up to you, Chiesa, for getting Jerry in the studio today.
Chiesa, well done. call me again.
So how have you been, Jerry? What have you been up to?
I'm very well, thank you.
Yeah,
total blessing to be able to say I'm well. Busy.
Yeah.
These are busy times.
Absolutely.
And again, privileged to be able to say I'm busy. There's a lot of people watching from the sidelines.
That's right.
I'm a lucky guy.
Yeah.
To do what I do, and here I am.
Absolutely. I love the sound of that. I love the reality of that as well. You know what I mean? Like there's no better truism right now. A lot of us, you know, I think it's also like it's become the popular thing to say, "How are you? I'm busy." You know what I mean? But I think we don't realize that how much of an amazing problem that is to have.
Totally. One of the things that often as I sit back and put my feet up and you've had a long day or a long week, whatever the case is, to be able to work in an industry, in an ideas world,
in
South Africa, on the African continent today, with the influence we have across the globe, absolute total privilege.
Absolutely. I don't doubt that for one second. And I mean, you say that, you say things like you know, influence around the globe and across the continent. You are the chairman of the MNC Sachi Group. Yeah, my man. Yeah, Voyager Miles must be fun there with you. Eh?
Don't be fooled by the titles. I wake up every morning, I go see my clients.
Yeah.
I wake up every morning, I go work with our team.
That's fantastic.
And we create some exciting work.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
That's fantastic. How big is this group? I mean, when we say the MNC Sachi Group, you know, sometimes I know some agencies that have like one office in Joburg and one in Durban, and they call themselves a group. You know what I mean? So, but how big is this? Is this group?
Look, we've never had the ambition to start or run a big agency.
Right.
What we excited about is gathering a group of exciting entrepreneurs who do interesting things.
Absolutely.
Across the entire spectrum of the marketing services sector.
Yeah.
And that's what makes us a group company.
Yeah.
And as we speak today, there's seven different companies doing different things, doing interesting things.
Boom.
And all of them, you know, owner managed, run by some exciting, talented entrepreneurs.
That's dope.
Exciting times.
That's dope. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into all that kind of stuff later. So guys, you heard him. Jerry's in the studio with me today. Hit me up on Twitter. That's at Blaxem. It's at BLAXEM on Twitter, or CliffCentral.com, or at CliffCentral.com rather, on Twitter. We also have a line. We have a WhatsApp line. 0797482090. You can hit me up with a message out there. I tell you guys all the time, don't call us on that line, guys. No one's going to pick that thing up. Just send us a message. Send us a WhatsApp message, like you slide into the DMs, slide into our WhatsApp like that, and let's have a chat. So I want to get into some of the stuff that happened last week. I mean, we were talking about Cannes, and I mean, I'd actually like to get your opinion on Cannes, Jerry. Like what do you make of this entire thing? I actually saw a thing where Martin Sorrell made. I think that name's gonna come up again later in the show. but he made mention of the fact that people don't like Cannes because it's a place where you pay €32 for a chicken sandwich. So what is your view on that entire thing?
So I think that I didn't get to go this year, but I'll go next year.
Yeah. Oh, no, I also had the pleasure of being in Cannes with anyone here. Yeah, I know, it was a good year.
It was a good year. Cannes is a fantastic thing.
Yeah.
The ability for the entire sector to sit back, do a proper appraisal, a proper review of a full year worth of ideas that have launched.
Yes.
And hopefully ideas that have gone out and changed people's lives, changed business reality, delivered results.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
I love the part where you say ideas that have launched, because that's also always been the controversy, right?
That also it's
hard to police these things when you're talking globally. You know, when it's a Luris and someone puts out a TV ad and we say, but my man, no one has ever seen that
thing.
Then we can go find it, you know. Whereas if some guy in the corner of Bangalore says, I've made this amazing TV ad, guys, believe me, it flighted. You know, do you think that that's one of the things that like is easier to get away with on an international level?
It depends on what kind of winner you are.
Yeah.
I wanna be able to stand on stage,
legitimately,
pick up a trophy, feel good about it.
That's right.
And know that I'm living my truth.
Yeah.
So it's not worth doing anything stupid just to get the accolade for something that really doesn't exist.
But I think that's fantastic. So South Africa did really well. SA did really well in Cannes last week.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations to South African agencies who've brought back some serious metals.
So, yeah, so absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, I think we continue to make ourselves look good in that space. And the guys at Ogilvy, I mean, I think year on year on year on year. So, so huge shout out to Mulifi Tulo and the rest of his team, Mr. Dave Kruger, the rest of that entire team. I think, wow, guys. I mean, you guys are a shining example of what South Africa is actually capable of in this space. So that was amazing. They won in the radio category for KFC, Double Down's The Sad Man Meal, and something. Yeah, well, if you go on the website, on the Cannes website, you'll see all the stuff that I'm telling you about. And then a guy from Egg Films, director Terrence Neal, he became the first SA director to ever win a Grand Prix at Cannes with the Adidas original Is Never Finished. In fact, that is with an agency that's run by the agency is called Johannes Leonardo. And it's run by a group of SA guys, right? So I know Mr. Westphalen. Shout out Westphalen. Is one of the creative team out there. What do you think that this means for SA? What do you think this means for, like, not beyond just the creative teams, but what do you think it means for our export?
My experience of the ideas economy is that whether you're talking to people in the Americas, you're talking to people across Europe, as far as the Far East. What you hear is that the most intelligent, the most successful, the most awarded guys across from film to television, advertising, music sector, etc., etc.
Yeah,
all of them will tell you that they are getting a feeling that they're reprising work that has been done, concepts that have been done, ideas that have come before us,
right?
And they are looking for something new.
That's right.
They're looking for a new opinion.
Yeah,
they want to hear something new, and that really is where the opportunity lies for the likes of South Africa.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because what we do here and how we do it, really is new in the context of the global platform.
That is so important, because I think for a long time it almost felt like we were recreating what the rest of the world is doing and just kind of trying to match them at what they do. You know what I mean? And it's always going to be tough to try and beat people at what they do. And it feels like we've taken all those learnings and we're building a brand new thing out here.
Absolutely. You could take a serious slant and talk about, you know, the content and what we write. And all the way to the extreme. I saw one of our actresses arrive at the BET Awards two nights ago.
Yeah.
Wearing proper, beautifully designed work in the form of African beads.
That's right.
She could easily have gone onto Fifth Avenue, New York, wherever, picked up something from one of those
but she chose to make that call.
Absolutely. And she happened to be the star of the red carpet.
Right.
And that's what it's about.
Who is this actress? I might have to go and look for this photo. Who is this person, Jared?
I don't think you're looking for what I'm talking about. Maybe I shouldn't even mention
Jerry, please. This is a show about advertising and branding. It's not that conversation, please. But another dope thing is the native VML and Absolute and Egg Films thing by One Source and Kulichana. So huge shout out to the homie Kulichana as well. Yeah, doing big things out there, and the guys at Egg Films doing big things.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in, you know, another time people think about entering awards and only think about like, you know, the traditional TV ad, the radio spot, you know, the print campaign.
Yep.
You know, how does this, you know, change the way we think we put in our briefs now? You know, because, you know, now even I think it should change how we approach every business solution we're looking for. Do you think that this is going to have that kind of impact?
I think, in my view, at least in the short term, if you're a South African ideas man, ideas woman, you want to win at two things, in my view.
Yeah.
The first is you absolutely got to win big in digital.
Yeah.
Not only because it's the sexiest thing and it's the newest thing we've spoken about. Digital and specifically mobile makes the African continent go round.
Right.
So if you are saying I'm connected to the South African consumer, you got to win in digital. So that's the first thing.
Yeah.
The second thing you got to win at is you will see that across the festivals, across the globe, locally, internationally, there's a very clear focus to recognize and reward work that genuinely talks about ideas that change people's lives, ideas for a better life,
right,
and no longer just gimmicky stuff that we sort of pat ourselves on the back and we think this is exciting, etc. Ultimately, we're in the business of behavior change.
That's absolutely true.
And that's the second area for me where I believe South African agencies should be winning.
Yeah,
should be winning at. And if you look at the texture of our our society, you look at our societal problems, you look at what clients want to achieve, you look at what people's aspirations are, that really is the exciting territory.
Absolutely.
And we've got to dominate that.
Yeah. So you mentioned something that's really, really, like, it's a controversial thing that I always find myself in this conversation. And I want to get your feeling on it. I mean, you've also judged a few things. You know, you've won one of three award shows you've judged. And I think that I've always asked myself this, because you talk about a thing that I think a lot of people are calling goodvertising, right?
So
we're saying, okay, guys, you know, I can go and sell batteries out there, but at the same time, I also know that the people of Philippi don't have water, right?
Yeah.
And then we go out there and we make all these ads, and people of Philippi get water, and these initiatives go out there and they do well. So I've always wanted to know this. How easy is it when you're judging, right, to separate yourself from the cause? To separate the cause and the work itself.
Yeah.
Because I think your sympathetic side insists that you have to love something that's changing someone's life.
Yes.
Right. So you go, damn it, this thing is changing someone's life.
Yeah.
But when you look at it as an execution, when you look at it as a, and even the fake stats, I mean, I love those stats. We changed behavior by 350%. Like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? So how easy is it?
How easy is it
to separate the cause, which is the thing that like goes straight to your heart and always wins.
Yeah.
And the fact that you look at it and you say, but really, really, you know what I mean?
Look, to me, it's a very serious matter. If any one of the creative festivals invite me to come in and judge, they're inviting me.
That's right.
Specifically me.
Yeah.
They're inviting my point of view.
Yeah.
They're inviting my beliefs.
Yeah.
They're inviting my outlook.
That's right.
On life, industry, and so forth. So they are going to hear my point of
That's
view.
Right.
You want another judge, perhaps you should call somebody else. So I will be subjective.
Yeah.
And I will give it my personal take.
That's right.
And I think that's what judges should do.
Yeah, yeah. And not be trying to conform to what the popular thing is.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? Hey, Muna, the amount of times I've seen, and I say this a lot as well, the rhino. I give out the rhino, Namapinaka. And every time I get into some awards show, there's something about a rhino. You know what I mean? And like you said, I have my personal views on the rhino. And every time you hear that kind of thing, it's just like, how, my man? Did you just say fuck the rhino?
Well, here's a controversial one for you.
Yeah.
I find that there's a large chunk of our society that frankly will put an animal ahead of a human being.
Boom!
And that's
exactly what I mean.
And if you look at humanity, you look at our needs, requirements, you look at our prospects.
Yeah.
That's the only conversation to be had.
I agree entirely.
Are animals
Jerry.
Important? Of course,
I
they
agree
are.
Entirely.
But first things
Jerry.
First, humanity.
But that, and that's always been my thing. You know, like I've always struggled with watching people go, you know, oh, I'm devastated by this whole thing, and I'm like, but you're also the person who lives across the road from probably one of the poorest parts of South Africa in Alex. But you never actually, I've never heard you mention one thing about how you want to make a change there. Mar omblelor gilo save the dodo. You know what I mean? I don't understand that. I've never been able to understand that in my life.
Yeah. Nature is an important aspect of advancing the human cause.
Absolutely.
But first things first.
Absolutely. I enjoy that a lot. Guys, Jerry's here. If you had any doubts, Jerry's here, guys. Hit me up once again, like I said, on Twitter with any questions or any comments you have for Jerry. That's at Blaxem, at BLAXEM, or at CliffCentral.com on Twitter as well. So, Jerry, you know, like I said earlier, you know, you're a man of a group, you know, and there's a group that's going through some things right now, you know, I mean, hey, internet, you guys said you wanted digital, now we are here. So, there's this ransomware thing that's happened with WPP around the world.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you know about it, but I mean, and I did research, I asked a couple of people how this ransomware stuff works, and all it is they essentially get into your server, they take your stuff. And then they ask you to pay for it to get it back.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm sure we've also seen like a lot of those terrorist movies where they say we don't negotiate with terrorists.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that's the situation they find themselves in right now?
I think that any commercial enterprise faces the risk of criminals who today spend less time adopting, at least I'm trying to find the word, kidnapping.
That's right. Yes.
That's the word I'm looking
for.
Yeah,
kidnapping.
You didn't even give him a break.
I'm going to just hit you with the horn, with the Timotash horn.
They will not kidnap another human being. They'll kidnap information.
That's right.
Because we live in an age, the information age. Absolutely. So
that's insane.
So it's a risk all of us face.
Yeah.
It's an obligation we have to ourselves, to our clients, to protect information. And I don't wish it on anyone.
Sure, it is rubbish. It is really not a great place to find yourself. But you're right, you mentioned the clients thing. How do you reassure your clients? And are we gonna have to, do we find like all the other people or all of us now in other agencies are gonna have to like reassure our clients that guys, we've got secure systems and all that? And how jittery does that make everything around the building?
It is a serious matter. Agencies take it seriously.
Yeah.
Obviously, clients take it very seriously. And one of the ways to protect information is to really run from an agency-client relationship perspective.
Yeah.
To run a very transparent conversation.
Yeah.
About, you know, what are the systems? Are they world-class systems?
That's right.
Are they open for client audit?
And
vice versa for that matter. Because what happens at client organization can impact
their
agency partner, not their supplier, their agency partner. So both ways is a very important conversation to be had.
Yeah, no, it can be nice. It can be nice there. Like I was saying, hey, Munna, Mr. Martin Sorrell, whoever you are, my man, hey, we're with you. We're with you in spirit. But yeah, because, you know, Gareth and I were talking about it now as well, that what happens is if you pay people like this, then now they know that you are a payer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And the risk now, the risk then becomes, you know, it's the kind of thing that spreads the risk to all of us, you know, because then they know that, no, there's an industry that if you take their stuff, then they're going to pay you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like do you think then that puts, like the category is at risk? How these people react is going to be, indicative of what the category thinks.
It's very important what the big players do, because clients obviously are very interested in what the big players do.
Yeah.
And then they want to impose that on the rest of the marketplace.
Yeah.
So how WPP reacts to this particular one?
Yeah.
It's important that the right people get involved.
That's right.
It's important that the right authorities get involved.
Yeah.
It is a global phenomenon.
Sure.
We shouldn't celebrate it.
No.
And no one should be laughing about it.
Yeah.
It is a serious matter.
That's insane. It's insane. But yeah, hey, it's tough. It's tough out there, guys. Protect yourself, you know, and protect each other, because this is some serious shit. Anyway, but I think, you know, that's about all the... Oh, wait. No. I wanted to make mention of last week Facebook Facebook Africa hosted an event called Cannected. And it was essentially people who are not in Ken were in Ken here.
Yeah.
Right. So I happened to be on a panel with Rui Alves, Juliet Honey, and Nunu Chingila, and it was really really interesting to hear some of the, because what we did then after that is that we opened up the platform to everyone who was in the audience, and they were asking questions about, you know, about the game, about advertising and what's changing, and it's very interesting how it feels like some of these things are things that, you know, I think the questions have been coming up ever since, and the questions are not changing because it feels like some of these questions are not being answered.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one of the biggest things was, and I want to get your opinion on this one. One of the biggest questions was, it feels like we are losing young or new creatives to other industries.
Yeah.
Right. So what happens? The question was phrased, I think, what happens between college and the ad agency? Because people go to advertising colleges, or all these other colleges study advertising, and then in the gap between when they must now come to the agency, they go and find another industry. What's your take on that? What do you think makes the kids do that?
It's a look. Let me take a step back.
Yeah.
You can call it whatever. We're in the business of storytelling.
Right.
We're in the business of telling stories that engage the consumer.
Yeah.
Changes behavior, and leads to a business result, leads to a commercial result, and depending on your cause, if we don't have, take a practical example, if we don't have writers in our industry, we don't have an industry.
That's right.
And when I spend a lot of time in the advertising schools, and when I say advertising schools, even beyond the
AAAs in Vegas,
big branded ones,
I'm
in town, I'm in the streets.
That's right.
Talking to a lot of young kids.
Yeah, the place where the changes actually should be happening first.
Spot on. And my sincerest worry is that there's fewer and fewer young kids entering the sector with writing potential.
Right.
Because if you don't have the writers, then we can't do what we do.
Absolutely.
So yes, it is a serious problem.
I mean, our directors, we love you as well, but but this is for real.
Of course we love our directors.
This is for real.
Of course we do. art directors are also storytellers.
Yeah, absolutely.
They tell the story visually. So they're important people in what we do.
Yeah.
I think the problem isn't at tertiary level.
Yeah.
I think the problem is if you're in primary school and you're not doing storytelling.
Yeah.
The future of our industry is not looking good. Jeopardy.
Yeah.
It starts there.
Absolutely.
If you're in a secondary school, you're not a member of a debating society.
Yeah.
You're not reciting poetry.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a problem.
Absolutely.
And the strange thing about it is that if there is one country, if there is one continent that should be birthing all of these fantastic storytellers.
Yeah.
It is the African continent.
Yeah.
The origins of everything we know.
That's right. That's right.
And we're battling at producing this.
Yeah.
It's a systemic thing.
Yeah.
I think it starts at school. And if we don't fix it there, tertiary is too late.
I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. And you know, it's obviously also the conversation that comes with our history as having had people who, you know, the only career choices you ever heard of were the ones you only ever got to hear of.
Yeah.
Right? And advertising as a career also just kind of sounded like, what for what? You know? And it's in how, and because one of the things that someone said is, as an industry, it feels like we're not branding ourselves right. The huge irony of all that.
Look, I think we should start branding our industry with the policymakers.
Right.
And here's why. The creative industries, looking the other day at some statistics out of the DTI, etc., etc., creative industries are sitting somewhere between 4 or 5% of GDP.
Isn't
the creative industries
generates that
extent
much
extent of contribution to society?
Sure,
it's to that extent. You look at this, the countries who do a brilliant job at this, they're sitting between 10% and 15%.
Wow.
So the potential is there.
Yeah.
For us to grow the creative sector.
Yeah.
It is a genuine contributor to society, to culture, genuine contributor to the economy.
Yeah.
And if policymakers understood this.
Absolutely.
Then you'd have a focus shifting towards supporting the arts.
Yeah.
Focus shifting towards ensuring that the school curricula speaks to the arts.
Yeah. Yeah.
As against the position we're in
absolutely,
today.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that's very, very important. And in fact, we're planning on having a show with some of the leaders of the schools to kind of find out this stuff. Like what is it that we think? Because I think the kind of the group of people that eventually get into the industry, you know, there are questions about that as well. Like, how equipped are they to get into the industry? Like, for them, when they land, for them to give them a brief, you know?
Yeah.
Rather than not, turn to the guy here. More than not, as soon as this person arrives, I must teach you how a radio spot works. This is stuff that you're supposed to have learned at your college, where it costs R1 million to go through, and you know, so all these things keep coming up.
Incubation of talent starts early.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter whether you're in the creative industries. I know you love sport. It often comes up when the debate is being had at national team level.
That's
about,
right.
You know, where's the talent? Where's the talent? The question is, where's the talent at school level?
That's right. That's right.
That's where incubation starts.
Yeah.
Discipline starts there.
Yeah.
Knowledge, technique, all of those good things start there. Passion and channeling passion
starts early, very early,
not at tertiary level.
I agree entirely. I think that's critical. So now here's what my opinion was as well. You know, so we're talking about that little gutter that happens where people fall through after colleges and whatever, because what happens after that is that So if you want to go to an ad agency, right? So you just did this design course at Vega, but then you get a phone call from Dialo Media, right? Yeah. They say to you, "We need you to come do layouts of the magazine layouts," and you choose. You get the choice now between going there, and I think between going there and going to like an ad agency, right?
Yeah.
And we know what the starting salaries are.
Yeah,
we know. I'm also not oblivious to what budgets are, to what cuts are, and the marketing spend and all that.
Yeah.
But my take has always been the apportioning of money to people who are entering into the game.
Yeah.
Is a huge deterrent, because you finish school and there are people that were right next to you, right, and they've gone into other industries and they start their first job. We're not going to 2.9, right? Right. Your first salary is 2,900.
That is extreme.
No. Jerry. Yeah. I mean, maybe that's from my time. Yeah, maybe it's also how long ago this was.
You're too old.
Maybe it's from my time. But we, fine, let's say whatever the starting salaries are, they can't even shine a light to some of the starting salaries that are in other industries. And if we're saying that the creative industries are as important, especially to GDP things like you're mentioning right now, then we should start valuing those people so that I don't lose you to Ndalo Media, because Ndalo Media is probably going to pay you more of a starting salary, right? And I've always thought that, you know, all these things, all these conversations that have happened, black tax, all those things, after my parents just paid R1 million to get me through whatever school.
Yeah,
I walk in and my first salary is 4.1. You know what I mean? Then they're like, "Ah, my man, what the hell are you talking about?" Then you might as well go and call Mabala Noise. Hey, let's make a track. You know what I mean? Because that's creative industries, is it not?
Look, I hold a different view.
Yeah.
Is it important that an early entrant into the industry earns enough to be able to make a living?
Yeah.
Of course, it is important.
Yeah.
I think that the focus should shift from that to a very different conversation that I often have with young people.
Yeah,
I'm not aware of any one of these successful people we admire across sectors, whether it be in technology, in the arts, in sport. I'm not aware of any one of those guys who tell a story, who tell a personal story of "I started big."
Right.
I think I'll come back to the responsibility of the employer just now.
Right.
But I do believe that the responsibility from a candidate's perspective is that you got to check in, you got to keep your head down.
That's right.
You got to do the hard yards.
Yeah.
You got to do some real
some serious
hard
craft.
Work.
Yeah.
You got to start at the bottom.
Yeah.
And in time, that will pay off.
That's right.
I know a lot of people who've done well.
Yeah.
On the back of having played in this industry,
yeah,
and a lot of people who've done well playing in the creative sector,
yeah.
But the responsibility of the young person who enters the industry,
yeah, man,
you got to keep your head down
and do the work,
do the hard yards, That's where
I actually respect that. I respect it a lot. I mean, I'm fighting for you, young people out there. But Jerry makes a very, very valid point.
And then, of course, the employer has a responsibility. One of the things we do badly at as employers is, you know, there's not enough coaches in walking the floors.
Right.
There's not enough mentors sitting down with some of these young kids.
Yeah.
To tell them exactly what I'm saying now.
Yeah.
That is our end of the
deal.
Bucket.
To
coach, teach, and ensure that these people over time can build fantastic careers and do well.
Yeah.
In the long run.
Absolutely, guys. Jerry's in the house, guys. I mean, if you guys had any doubts that Jerry's in the house, guys. And I mean, I think you make a very, very, very valid point, because, you know, in as much as we talk about our back all those conversations, I also know the levels of entitlement that I sometimes deal with.
Yeah.
You know, when people walk through the door and you're like, my man, you know, like I said, I mean, I make the Mabala Noise example, but I mean, if you're looking for Mabala Noise money, go to Mabala Noise.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're building, you know, from the bottom here. And, I think it's a critical part.
I often say to young people when this conversation comes up, I ask them a question. You know, who's this one famous personality you admire?
Yeah.
And you'll be told, "Oh, no, it's Cristiano Ronaldo."
Yeah.
And I'd say to them, "Well, do you know the story of Cristiano?"
Yeah.
"No, I don't know the story." I'm like, you see, that's the problem.
That's your issue
You know the Ballon d'Or winner.
Yeah. You don't know the work that got to Ballon d'Or.
You don't know
the
guy who's got the admiration of all of his coaches.
Yeah.
Who comes in first and who leaves last at the training ground.
That's right.
And that's where he started.
Yeah.
He still does that today.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to glorify the guy who's already, you know, a world champion.
That's right. That's right.
The conversation to be had is, where did he start? How did he get to where he is today?
Absolutely. Because all you're interested in is getting the Champions League trophy. You know what I mean? All you have is
you gotta understand where the trophy comes from.
That's right.
You gotta understand where winning mentality comes from.
Yeah.
You gotta understand where skills and technique comes from.
Yeah.
And it comes from doing the hard yards very early on, and again, keeping your head down.
Boom. Guys, you guys heard it. You heard it here first, guys. In fact, you didn't hear it here first. This has been re-embedded into your mind here at with G-Man the Ad-Man. So Jerry, I mean, you and I could sit like and talk like this the whole day. You know what I mean? And you know, I've been lobbying for a 2-hour show, but it's coming. I get the sense that
no, as I leave here, it's coming. I see some people I need to talk to.
Yeah. but now, Jerry, talk to me about I want to chat about yourself now.
Yeah.
You know, and. Obviously, a man who believes in hard work. You're obviously a man who believes that, you know, it takes like knuckling down and getting the work in there in order to get what you want,
yeah.
Right? And I mean, we'll talk about whether you've gotten what you want, but talk to me about, like, you know, how does it start for you? You know, how does Jerry Mpofane's journey start? And ends up at this place where you're the chairman of the MNC Saji Group.
I think it's a combination of two things.
Yeah.
And I could talk about 200 other things.
Yeah.
But I want to leave particularly the young ones listening in. I want to leave them with these two things. Firstly, very early on, you got to be very clear about the kind of person, the type of person you want to be on this earth.
Right.
You if you don't know the answer, spend a lot of time with people who can help you shape that.
Wow.
You got to know what it is you want to do.
Yeah.
And when you have a good sense of what it is you want to do, do not walk alone.
That's right.
I say to youngsters all the time, you have to find a mentor.
Yeah.
Do not walk alone.
Yeah.
One of the people I know very well, my sister Kay, who's we were having a conversation the other day.
Yeah.
And she gave me one of the best lines I've heard.
Yeah.
When we were talking about this subject of coaching, mentorship, etc.
Right.
And I asked her, why is it you want mentorship?
Yeah.
And she said to me in her response, Jerry, I can no longer freestyle through life.
Boom!
A lot of young people are freestyling.
That's right.
They're going with the wind.
Yeah.
And they end up where the wind ends up.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to know what it is you want to do.
Mm.
Do not walk alone.
Yeah.
And it's a partnership, and it's a lifelong partnership with the person you choose to be your coach, mentor, whatever the case is.
Wow, that's fantastic. Those are big words, Jerry. I think that's really, really important. Sorry. And so I mean, you've been through a whole bunch of established pieces of corporate, you know, of many guises,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And do you think that, you know, are there any, in fact, yeah, maybe let me ask you straight up, yeah. Like who was the person, who were the people that kind of that shaped, or that, penalty is a very harsh word, but engineers.
No, it's also a good thing.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you got to get a clap once or twice.
You need panel beating sometimes.
And you know, you wake up.
Yeah.
You wake up.
Who was the man that engineered / panel beat, or man or woman, that engineered or panel beat the Jerry Mpofane in front of us?
In my case, woman.
Yeah.
I've been very, very lucky to... Literally, the person who hired me first time when I entered the world of work,
right?
The world of the professional environment, etc.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to say Louise Barkley.
Right. Shout out Louise Barkley. What's up?
A very, very, very a very good friend.
Yeah.
But early days when you walk in with a torn shirt.
Yeah.
She made it her point.
Yeah.
To seek me out.
Right.
And spend all of her time with me.
Yeah.
And she's been able to help shape a whole lot of things that I know, think about, things that I believe in, etc.
Right.
She's been a serious influence in my life.
Yeah.
And even today, you know, more than 20 years later.
That's right.
We sit down for a long dinner and we're the last people to leave the restaurant
because
there's always something to talk about.
Absolutely.
I've been very lucky that way.
Yeah.
And telling my own story, I encourage young people to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Along the way,
yeah,
there's a whole range of other people who've always sought me out, who've always supported me, who've always given me the breaks, who've always... you know, when they hadn't heard from me, they pick up the phone and say,
Iki,
I haven't heard from you. Where the hell are you?
Yeah.
Etc. So those people are out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Willing, able
to
help and support.
That's great. That's so cool. I think that's a very important thing for young people and for people who have been in the game for a little bit to hear. Because I think, you know, we can't keep complaining about, you know, the lack of talent or the lack of people coming up in the game when we're not doing anything in order to help that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's too easy. It's too easy for us to just say no.
Yeah.
We don't have any people coming through.
The psychologists and behavioral scientists and all of those smart people say, in general, there's probably going to be three people who influence your life journey.
Right.
In all likelihood, the home in which you born and raised,
yeah,
there will be somebody who shapes the person you are going to be eventually.
Right.
So that's sort of the first part of your life.
Yeah.
And yeah, my dad's gone, bless his soul.
Yep.
He was a big influence in terms of knowledge, discipline, doing the right things,
right,
looking out for opportunity and all of those good things.
Yeah.
So first part of my influence.
Yeah.
In my teenage years, you know, you get involved in all kinds of things from sporting to cultural.
Yes.
Endeavors, etc. There was a gentleman who came into my life.
Yeah.
And shaped my teenage years.
That's right.
And then, of course, my professional life, having met Louise, who I've already mentioned.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
There's those people are out there.
Yeah.
Seek them out.
Yeah,
spend
man.
Spend time with
yeah,
them.
Yeah, man.
In a disciplined manner.
Yeah.
I have a lot of young people who I mentor.
Yeah.
I haven't heard from, and they know why.
Right.
Because they've been given some tasks.
Yeah.
And
they've got competed.
And they've gone, yeah.
They've gone rogue.
You got to stay focused.
Yeah.
You got to stay focused.
I hear you completely. So Garanko was a big influence in your life.
Garanko was a big influence. I often say to people that come from a township where nothing happens.
Right. Garanko.
Nothing happens.
Yeah. What do you mean by that? What do you mean nothing happens?
Nothing. What comes out of Garanko?
Yeah.
Nothing happens. You know, you wake up in the morning, you look left, you look right, people
nothing's
sitting on their tree, nothing's happening.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that if you look at, in fact, let's talk about our immediate environment.
Yeah.
If you look at some of the enterprising people doing exciting things in my industry,
yeah,
they come from there.
Yeah.
You look at some enterprising people doing stuff in the public sector, they come
from
there. Because in spite of...
Doesn't AB come from there as well?
AB sort of first half of his life in a neighboring township, and then of course he had to get a touch of Garanko.
Yeah.
look at him today. Look at him today.
shout out, Mr. Ibi Mukhazwane. What's up? And thingy as well, right?
MD. Are you thinking? You thinking, Alistair?
Alistair McQueen as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, Alistair. Yeah. My mother's house, his mother's house, down the road.
Boom. Yeah, no, something amazing is obviously happening in Garanko. You know, Jerry
says something in the water.
Something happened. Nothing happens there, but something amazing obviously is happening there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it is testament to environments where nothing happens.
Yeah.
Can birth some enterprising people who go do great things.
That's amazing. That's so cool. And you know, once again, I mean, this is something that I try to make mention of on the show a lot.
Yeah.
You know, because you know we are in an industry that has historically been reserved for a few people. You know, and it's always felt that, you know, I've always felt it's important, like, for these stories that we keep talking about, right?
Yeah.
For us to get all these stories from all parts of South Africa, it's important that we inspire kids who are sitting in Mosina somewhere to say, how, guys, if some guy from Garanko could be the guy that they're talking to on the show right now, then everything in me exists for me to be able to go and do this kind of stuff.
It's possible.
Yeah, man, and that's the general thing. That's the general approach that we take on the show. But now I want to talk about, you know, this guy from Garanko, the chairman, has now just acquired this new agency, right?
Yes.
And that made news recently.
Yes.
Tell us about that. What does that mean? What is that?
So in the South African market, we have an ambition, like I said earlier on,
yeah,
to be able to give our clients coverage from a skill set,
right,
from a capability point of view, coverage across the important disciplines in the marketing and the marketing services sector, and rights management, rights acquisition, sponsorships in the sporting entertainment sector, activations, etc. is a very big part of the marketing arsenal available to any brand.
Yeah.
And there was a missing link.
Right.
And we were very lucky that a couple of years of conversation, having known a couple of the people and on that side, have resulted in us being able to acquire Levergy.
Oh, fantastic. Big news, guys. You shout out.
Levergy is the reigning sponsorship agency of the year.
Boom!
We're very proud to say.
Yeah.
A fantastic bunch of people, very talented.
Yeah.
They love their work, love what they do. Their clients love them. They do some very exciting work.
Yeah.
They cleaned up recently at the Sports Industry Awards.
Right.
Across a number of categories.
Yeah. So best of breed. Yeah.
They're now a part of us.
Yeah.
And I often remind people whenever we're having this conversation that the MNC Saatchi ethos is that we partner with people who are entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
We use the term that we are a federation of entrepreneurs.
Excellent. I love that.
You look at every entity across our group company. It's
owner
managed.
Right.
The people who've started that company, the people who run it.
Yeah.
Walk the floors.
That's right.
Work with their people.
Yeah.
Lead the client conversation, see the client work on the brief.
Yeah.
And Levergy had that similar ethos.
That's fantastic.
And they're part of us now and we're very excited.
That's fantastic. So does this mean then that they're going to be plugging into kind of some of your other agencies, if I'm calling that? Does it mean that there's going to be more collaboration in that space? Or are you just like tapping into the expertise from like a Meta space?
In the South African market and in the rest of Africa, they're going to become our specialist skill set in terms of sponsorship and activations, and from a global perspective, they plug into an interesting company, 5 times UK sponsorship agency of the year, MNC Saatchi Sport and Entertainment.
Boom!
Again, a bunch of exciting people doing exciting stuff.
That's great.
So it's not only just a South Africa play, it's a South Africa play, and then it's a global play.
It's a global play as well. Wow. Big things are going. Big things are going. You know, Jerry.
We're very lucky.
Yeah, I know. I think that you guys are busier than you seem. You know what I mean? Like I see you look relaxed. You know what I mean? You always look like, hi, OT. Hey, I'm chilled. But obviously, you're busy. Obviously, you're getting in there. And
we're working.
Working. Yeah, and that's important. That's really, really important. Yeah. So the attractiveness of some of these, like the partnerships, right? Obviously, come from the fact that you guys have this global reach, right? And so how often or how important is kind of your where people used to call the head office? You know what I mean? Yeah, they our head office is in. Yeah. But how important is the network to the growth and to these to the federation of entrepreneurs?
Our network is unique.
Yeah.
And it's genuinely unique.
Yeah.
So this is not just another PR punt.
Yeah.
Our business is built bottom up.
Right.
Every one of our offices in upwards of at least 30 cities.
Right.
Across the globe. Is exact same profile of person who we are in South Africa.
Really?
Owner managers
who
have direct responsibility, direct engagements with their client, manage their own talent.
Yeah.
With a bottom-up business, energy is from the bottom up.
Yes.
We don't use the term head office in our world.
Yeah.
And those entrepreneurs spend a lot of time together. We one of the few networks, if not the only, where all of these partners from across the globe get into the same city every 6 months to have a conversation about who's doing what, what's exciting, what can I learn from the next guy.
Yeah.
There is no hierarchy.
Yeah.
You're in there with mates. We talk about a federation of entrepreneurs, people who are like-minded and people who like each other.
Right.
And they want to be there. There is no partner agency in our network being an entity that doesn't want to be a part of us.
Right.
Because nobody forces them to be a
exactly,
part of us.
Exactly, exactly.
They see like-minded people who do exciting things, and that's who we are as a global family.
That's dope, man. That's so dope. I mean, it sounds like the kind of place that anybody who feels like, you know, they have a brand new, or not brand new, but they have a view on the offerings that advertising kind of puts
Please
out
there. Please call me. You know?
See guys, call me. That's what I'm. But that's what I'm talking about. It feels like the kind of place where anybody with a slightly different view on how everything is happening, like, could knock on your door and come have a conversation. Is it that easy?
We don't spend any time talking about the form of things.
Right.
We are interested.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We're interested in the content.
Yeah.
You do something that adds value to our proposition to client. You can be a part of us. And I mean it.
Yeah.
Do call us.
Oh, that's fantastic. Where can people reach you? Where can people?
On our website. Yeah. My email address is on there. Yeah. And obviously all of the other contact information.
Yeah. Okay, fantastic. You know, Jerry, you know, we're talking about time. And it always amazes me how the hour flies by. We're almost there.
Okay, I need to go lobby. It's going to be a two-hour show.
Yeah, there he is.
It's gonna be a two-hour show. I see him.
Jerry, thank you so much for coming through, man. I think you dropped some gems out here today. But you know what I love most, that it's not necessarily things that people have never heard before. I just think that sometimes we have to hear it from other people in order for us to actually understand the importance of these things. And that's where the importance of mentorship also comes from.
Spot on.
Because, you know, it's not like some of these ideas just lie dormant in your mind. You know what I mean? But you have them. You have this information. But but you're just not talking about it. But so I want to thank you so much for coming through. I want to wish you good luck, you guys, and in your new venture with the new partnership.
Absolutely.
With the guys from Levergy. And what do you think? You know what is the next like 5-10 years hold for? Or is that looking too far forward for your group?
10 years is too far.
That's right.
Because inside the next year there's a couple of, you know, new initiatives that we're going to be launching.
Oh,
so
dope.
You are going to be hearing from us.
Fantastic.
There's exciting things happening.
Yeah.
You are going to hear from us.
Yeah.
It's fantastic seeing you always.
Thank you, sir.
Invite me again.
Yeah, it will happen.
I'll speak to Chiesa. Where the hell?
Yeah, Chiesa and myself, we'll keep our phones on. You definitely will be back because, you know, I was chatting to Mona Lisa last week from Riverbed.
Of course.
And we're chatting about, you know, there's obviously a bigger conversation that we need to be had. You know, we didn't get enough time to sit and talk. I mean, we touched on it on the transformation conversation.
She's a fantastic talent.
Yeah, I know she's fantastic. Yeah. She was here, and I was telling her, I was like, you know, you can also tell when they're like, you know, when there's seniority in the house. You know, it even smells different. You guys must smell what this place smells like now as well. You know, Terry just brings, you know, seniority. But there's a bigger conversation about transformation
I'm planning
on having. Like a round table with a whole bunch of people.
Absolutely.
Young and having been inexperienced, and on this platform, and I'd love for you to be a part of that someday. So I'm hoping you can be a part of that.
In the word transformation and the concept itself, inherent in it, it's a journey.
Right.
So I'm very happy to come and have that conversation.
Yeah.
I feel very passionate about it.
Beautiful. Guys, that's it. That's another show. Another hour that just flew by from having an amazing conversation with Jerry. So get this podcast. I think it's going to be important that you get the podcast and you play this podcast for the people around your office. Play it in the car. You know, when you're driving to work, you know, you don't necessarily always have to listen to, hey, let me not mention names. But I think play the podcast in your car, play it at home, play it when you come back from church, you know what I mean? But I think that most important, go play the podcast. Everything that has been spoken about here today, I think, is very, very important. And I think you're very, very important. So like I say every week, but before that, I just want to say, Jerry, any final parting words that you want to have to the listeners out there?
Exciting times.
Yeah.
To be able to play in an ideas world.
Yeah.
If you're listening and you have doubts about it, call OT here, Grant, call me.
Yeah.
We're going to tell you more about how exciting it is.
Absolutely.
And come and join us.
Yeah. We'd love to have you. I absolutely mean that. We'd love to have you because that's going to change, once again, like I always say, it's going to change us making people dancing for adverts, for custody in our adverts. So, guys. Guys, that's the end of our show for this week. It was fantastic to hang out with you guys. Jerry, you've been getting a whole bunch of love on Twitter. People just acknowledging the fact that you're here. I love how the show has grown. We're a little over a year old. I still can't believe that. But thanks again for another fantastic show. Once again, take care of yourselves. Take care of those briefs. But most importantly, take care of each other. It's your boy, G-Man the Ad Man. And like I say every week, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. Boom!
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agents. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the Ad Man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom!
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man, the Ad Man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man, the Ad Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man, the Ad Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
Clipcentral.com.